If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We are thankful to be here this morning. Appreciate the good Sunday school lesson, good song service. Certainly glad to see visitors with us this morning. And I know we're a little short, maybe got some visiting or traveling rather. And this time of year, you kind of expect that. It's right before school starts back. Everybody's got to get in that last minute trip. And so, you know, we're glad that we could be here. God knew who was going to be here, and He knows exactly what we need, and He knows what I need this morning. So I want you to ask the Lord to help me to bring His message. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, you know, we live in a different world now, and you've heard that so many times, you probably roll your eyes when you hear it. We live in a different world now than we did just a few years ago. And I think about these young people that are growing up, these children that are growing up, and the things that they hear now are a little different than what I heard growing up. You know, you go into a lot of different places and even churches, different churches now, that you don't hear about the blood. I thought about this song. It's very much a burden on my heart to get somebody to sing it, and I appreciate y'all singing that this morning because it's still the blood that saves from sin. You know, and that's something that has to be focused on, is the sacrifice that Jesus willingly made so that we could be saved. But it's just about been done away with in the world. You know, you think about the modern songs that are being written now, they won't hardly touch the blood because it's not politically correct. And, you know, you get out away from our song books and these old hymn books, and these newer songs are not like that anymore. So you have an entire generation of people that have never heard about the blood, and what they have heard is, you know, how horrible it is. And, certainly Calvary was a horrible thing, and Jesus suffered more than anybody else has ever suffered on the face of the earth, not just the physical, but the mental and the trauma that was placed upon Him, just carrying our sin debt to the cross. But it's necessary. And it's something, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you need to hear. You need to understand why Jesus did what He did. Exodus chapter 12, we find that, of course, Israel was enslaved to Egypt. You can look at that in a different way, and that Israel was enslaved to sin. Egypt types sin in the Bible. It's hard to get away from that. I know it maybe times it might not necessarily apply, but in most cases, Egypt-type sin, and Israel was in bondage to them. And just like a sinner, you know, we are in bondage to sin. Cannot help ourselves, cannot do anything about it. We are enslaved to sin in this world. And whenever we're charged, we're guilty of sin, and the wages of sin is death. Israel was in bondage to Egypt, and so God heard their cry. Israel cried out to God, and God heard that cry. He sent a deliverer. And whenever He came in, He told the Pharaoh of Egypt, He said, "Let my people go, that they can go and worship." And He said He would not let the people go. So God made a promise. He said that I'm going to send my plagues upon Egypt. I'm going to plague them. And He did. He sent plagues upon them, and things that everyone would probably be familiar with, you know, locusts and lice and the water turning to blood and just all manner of things that would be horrible. But the last plague He sent was death. And so this fell upon everyone. And there was a message that was delivered, and that is to apply the blood to the door. If you apply the blood to the door, you will not be harmed by death. But if you do not apply it, there will certainly death will come upon you. So this plague of death is now passed upon the land. And this is how you escape the plague. Look at verse 1, Exodus chapter 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, Let him and his neighbor next into his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So there you go. We have lyrics to a song, one of these old hymns. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I think those are songs we need to sing loud and often, because the generations coming up, we need to hear about it. It needs to be emphasized among us. It needs to be things we talk about regularly in our homes, and certainly need to be heard here at the church. So Moses and Aaron was given a command from God that you are to go and preach or deliver my message. My message is, he said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. So I want you to go and tell the whole congregation this message. And in the message, Brother Mike, he wants to warn them of the destruction that is coming. Death is going to pass upon all, but there is a way of escape, and this is how you escape. And he wanted Moses and Aaron, you stress the urgency of the blood. He gave specific way. It's to be slaughtered. It's got to be of the first year. It's got to be spotless, a spotless lamb. And you take the blood and you put it on the doorpost. You put it on the lintel there. And then you take that meat and you roast it with fire and you eat every bit of the meat. And then in the morning, whatever's left over, you destroy with fire. But he let them know, this is the message. If the blood is not applied, I will not spare them. That's a simple message. But it was a very specific message. You can't do it your way. You may think that there ought to be a different way out, but this is the only way out. This is the only thing that is going to do you any good. If you try to go without the blood, you are going to perish just like the rest. The firstborn is going to perish just like the rest. If the blood is not applied, I will not spare them. If they choose not to be covered, if they're taking their blood upon their own hands, the blood is their hope. That's the message that Moses and Aaron was to deliver. You go tell everyone in the congregation this. The blood has to be applied. And then again, not just any blood. It's got to be the blood of a spotless lamb. It's got to be according to their eating. Let them come in under the blood and eat the flesh and unleavened bread. And listen, now this is the Passover. This is the Passover. You know, of course, the Lord, when I see that blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you. On the night that Jesus gathered with his disciples, of course, Judas was gone to betray. And Jesus began to have what we call the Lord's Supper, one of the two ordinances given to the church in our day. is to come together as often we do in remembrance of Him. And we come together and we bring the fruit of the vine and we bring unleavened bread according to the instructions of the Lord. And we break that together to remember the sacrifice that Jesus paid so that we could be saved. But whenever Jesus come to the time of the Passover, on the night Jesus sat down with those disciples, on the night before He was crucified, He was there for that Passover. That's interesting to me that Jesus come together. You know, He said not one jot or tittle of the law. The law is not going to pass away until all is fulfilled in the law. I'm going to fulfill the law. And part of this was to come together and have the Passover. You're to come together. And so in Mark 14 and verse 14, we find that He sent His disciples. He said, go and speak to the goodman of the house. And the goodman of the house will show you a guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. So He sent them on, go find us a place. And you're going to run into a man. This man's going to show you where we can have the Passover together. Then He taught that lesson. The fruit of the vine was to remember His blood. The unleavened bread was to remember His broken flesh. This morning, I cannot stress the importance of the blood. I can't stress the importance enough of what Jesus has done for us. There's those that sit on the church pew that's lost and maybe go to mom and dad. Mom and daddy, I think I'm lost. And, you know, what do I need to do? I want you to hear me this morning. If the Lord has been dealing with your heart and you feel like that you need to be saved and God has shown you that, He's convicted your heart, that there's only one way for you to be saved, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking up, he told all those who had been preaching to Him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Here's the Lamb of God. This is the one that's been preached to us. This is the one that the prophets have told us about. And here He is. I have been preparing a way for Jesus. And there He is. He is the Lamb of God. He's God's salvation. The Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So John's pointing out this is the Lamb of God. This is the one that will shed His blood, and because of Him, we can be saved. You know, it's still the blood that saves from sin. It never was the blood of sheep. Even though God required a sheep according to the household, that was to point them to Christ. That was to point them to the coming Savior. It never was the blood of sheep or lambs or bulls that saved anyone as far as soul salvation. Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. For them, He was the spotless Lamb that was to come. And for us, He is the spotless Lamb that has came. And Jesus is that spotless Lamb that we are to put our faith in. If you're here and you're lost, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. Look over, if you will, book of Acts in chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I just want to get one verse on your mind here, but to go along with what we've already read, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is going to no doubt end up in death, be a martyr for the cause of Christ, but he exhorts a council of preachers. He goes and has all these preachers come and meet up with him, and he's wanting to give them some instruction. He said, you're not going to see my face anymore. I'm about to go and be bound, and this will probably be the last time I see you. And so he came, and I want to exhort you. I want to counsel you preachers. And look at Acts 20 and verse 28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Again, talking to these preachers. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He has purchased with his own blood. Men, you are overseers of the church. God has called you and he has put you over that church. And you are to oversee the church and you are to feed the church. What's the preacher to feed the church? Not fried chicken, not fried fish. Feed them the word. Feed the word. We come together as a congregation. We come to hear the word. Let me stress that again. We come to hear the word of God. Not opinions, not ideas. The word of God, because it's the truth that will set us free. So man, you are overseers of the flock and you feed the church. And I want you to really get this statement, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased salvation for every sinner. He paid for it. Whenever I think about salvation, Brother Ryan, it's free. I didn't have to pay a dime. I didn't have to do anything special. There's no works that I could do. And any works that you try to do is dead in sins and trespasses. Your righteousness that you try to do on your own is as filthy rags. If you're lost, you cannot earn salvation. It's free. But it cost Jesus everything. Jesus purchased salvation for every sinner. Jesus paid it all. He didn't take care of part of the payment of salvation. The wages of sin is death. He didn't take care of part of that and then say, now I need you to pay the remainder. He didn't say that. He came and he paid the price, which was death. He paid it as the spotless Lamb of God. He again, if you're in your loaf, there's nothing else you've got to take care of. All you've got to do is accept what's already been done. You just have to, by faith, trust Jesus as your Savior because he is the Savior of the world. He purchased that title as Savior. He came as Jesus Christ. He purchased the title of Savior. He purchased it with his own blood. He purchased salvation with his blood. Now, every church is to feast upon the Word of God. Every member is to give themselves a living sacrifice. Once you get saved, it is profitable for you to maintain good works. It is your responsibility as one that is saved to give yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Why? Because that's your reasonable service because of what Christ did for you. But you cannot do anything. You cannot offer up a reasonable service if you are still lost. You are there desperate in your sin and you need to be saved. Lost sinner, you need to be saved. And if you're not saved, you will burn in hell unless you trust Christ. So Jesus came to pay for our sin. I want to echo that statement once again made in Exodus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When Christ considers you, are you under the blood? That's the thought I want to leave with you this morning. Whenever Christ looks down at you, when God looks down at you in judgment, and look, the world is judged for sin. We are charged with sin. That's what conviction is. You think about a child that's growing up, you know, we look at them, oh, they're so innocent. And even some of the cute little mischievous things we see them do, they're so innocent. The reason we can say that and get away with it is because they are innocent, because they don't know any better. Don't change the fact what they're doing is wrong. They're just innocent because they don't know the difference between good and evil. But there comes a time in their life when God opens their eyes. They see what sin really is. They see themselves as a sinner. They see the difference between right and wrong. And God charges them with sin. Now there's a price that's to be paid. Wages of sin is death. That was passed on by Father Adam. We all are born into this world and we all are sinners. been charged with it. So if you say, look, God has shown me that I'm lost, what you're saying is God opened your eyes to the fact that you were born into this world as a sinner. And you recognize that you're a sinner. And you recognize that you're lost. You recognize that you're on the road to hell. So thank the Lord that God sent us a sacrifice. One to take our place. Lost sinner, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All have sinned. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. What do we need? We need a scapegoat. That's what we need. Remember when Abraham was about to offer Isaac and the Lord stopped him? Before all that, Isaac said, look, we have everything we need except a lamb for the sacrifice. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And he gets there to offer up Isaac. And God stops him, and Abraham looks, and there's a ram caught in the thicket. God has provided himself a sacrifice. Here we are. Wages of sin is death, but God has provided himself a sacrifice. It's acceptable. It was acceptable unto God. It's good enough for the Lord. It's good enough for you. Salvation is a gift through Christ. You can be saved. It's a gift even though it cost Jesus his blood. I tell you what Jesus didn't do. He didn't offer us some cheap gift. He didn't offer us a gift that required batteries. He gave us a gift, and that gift is eternal life. Now, it's free to all that trust in him. I trusted Jesus many years ago. His blood covers me. Even since I've been saved, I have sinned. I've made mistakes. But we learned in Sunday school this morning, there's a part of us that's righteous that cannot sin. The spiritual side of us. That inner man, that spiritual man. And so just like Paul, I have that battle going on within me. That I would do, I do not. And that I would not, that do I. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver us? Jesus Christ. When God looks down upon Brad O'Neill, he sees the blood. I'm under the blood. Are you? Colossians 1 verse 19 and part of verse 20 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," that's in Jesus, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross." I like that. What Jesus did, he made peace through the blood of his cross. It's still the blood. Still the blood. The world may doubt it. The world may try to tell you something different. But if you're lost, please, from the heart of a pastor that loves you, listen. If you're lost, in order to be saved, you're going to have to trust what Jesus did on Calvary. You're going to have to trust in the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What he did paid for your sin. And if you'll believe in Jesus, he will save you. Jesus made peace between God and man through the blood of his cross. His blood, his precious blood. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lost sinner, won't you trust in Jesus today? A Savior that though he died on a cross, though he shed his blood, the Bible said that soldier took that spear and stabbed him in the side and blood and water come gushing out. Though he died on the cross, he lives forever at the right hand of the throne of God, high and lifted up, ready to save us to the uttermost. I'm so thankful I trusted Jesus. He's already saved me to the uttermost. I can't get any more saved than what I am now. My salvation is nearer now than when I believed. But I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm going to be with the Lord in glory. I hope everybody here say the same thing. Won't be very long. He's going to come back. He's going to take us home. Will you be going? If he come back right now, would you be going with us? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If not, won't you do that right here, right now? You don't have to get out of the building. You don't have to leave the property. You can get saved right on that pew where you are. But you're going to have to trust Jesus in your heart. Trust Him. If you get home, the Lord allows you to live. You get home. You get out on the back 40 somewhere. Get away from everybody. Go talk to the Lord. Pour your heart out. But trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're lost, oh, how bad you need Him. It is urgent that you trust Him. Last for something.